The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. It's Sunday morning again. We are chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. I encourage you to go to that webpage because what you will find there will be everything about our guest today so that it makes it really easy for you to follow along while we're talking, and a link to every show that we've ever done. And we're coming up on 3 years, so there's quite a library of information on that webpage, and our great friend Robert does that for us on a weekly basis. We have such a great team. We've got Bob Martin, who is the producer of the show and does an outstanding job with the music. If you haven't tuned in, it's worth it just for the songs alone. And Robert does the webpage. Robert is extremely talented, and, you know, they're under pressure every week to pull this off for us, so we send out a big thank you to both of them.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't get the information to them in like a super timely fashion.
No, most of the time we do, but sometimes we're scrambling. So big thank you to both of those guys. And if you want to call in today, the number is 530-605-4567. Hey, so you guys.
Hold on. And the other thing is,
what?
If you have ideas for programs and you have ideas for guests or any of that kind of stuff, it's on the webpage. Our contact information is all on there.
Right. And we are completely a grassroots volunteer situation here. So if you're inclined to want to support this show, that link is there as well.
Check.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a hold on. This just in.
Did you want the information about supporting the show?
That's what I was doing.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I had the little card in my calendar. It's like, okay, hold on. I have to unzip it. We the People and Sovereign Minds, which airs on Saturday mornings from 8 to 9, invite you to our first ever banquet and fundraiser. It's Sunday, June 29th, 2013. So why would you want to go? You should go.
Aside from the fact it's at Wind River Casino.
Yes. And it's at 4:30, so it's kind of, you know.
Kind of nice. It's not going to be a late evening.
Yeah, we don't even have to dress up. No dressing up, by the way. Just
nice.
Let it out there.
That means I will go.
Well,
I don't have anything nice to wear anymore. You know what I mean?
How do you go wrong? You got a black shirt? You can go. You can go to anything. So it's a dinner, an auction, and a raffle. Because we're going to have Patrick Jones from Jones Ford help us out, and we're going to have bunches of...
He's the master fundraising expert.
He is, too.
He does it for all kinds of veterans organizations and hunting, and, you know, so, yeah, he's good at it.
Well, Patrick really believes in what we're doing, and, of course, the feeling is mutual. We like to support him in any way we can, this is just a terrific thing that he's put together for next month.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're out there and you're going, there's no guns out there, I know where they'll be. They'll be at Wind River Casino at 4:30 p.m. Saturday, June 29th, and that information will be on the webpage.
So
it isn't right now because we haven't given it to Robert, but
so
it will
come
be.
Join
okay,
us.
You might want to clarify that as far as the guns being out there.
Well, raffles.
Come and...
Guns will be awarded.
Yes.
Oh, guns will be awarded. That's good.
Yes.
That's good politically correct gun talk.
Although I suspect there will be others as well.
Yes, we're not encouraging you to bring your own firearms or anything like that.
No, because it's at Wind River Casino, which would be on...
Yes.
Tribal
territory.
There you go. Thank you. That's what I was after.
Hey, so you guys, I brought my list of excuses with me for anything that I might ever do in my future where I don't want to take responsibility. And so I just wanted to... I've got them in my head. I wanted to read them off. I have... I don't know. I don't remember. I don't recall. I wasn't there. It's someone else's fault. I had a senior moment. I threw that one in. And my all-time favorite, I plead the fifth.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I didn't do anything wrong, but on the advice of my counsel, I'm pleading the fifth.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, so I can just tell you that, but you can't ask me about it. So that's a cross between Eric Holder and Lois Lerner?
Yes. I just thought, you know, I've been listening closely to these folks, and I thought, you know, they just have this gig down. So I'm going to make a list of all those excuses to carry in my wallet.
Sure, because it's like public service at its best.
Yes.
You know, the other little piece of that that was actually pretty funny. I was coming back from Siskiyou County the other night. Got home at 2:45. And so it was kind of late. And I'm listening to Sirius XM Left, channel 127, just in case you need a little comedy channel in your life. Sirius XM Left, there it's like the Fox News of the left, sort of, on satellite. And these guys, I tuned in and I thought, I got the wrong channel. They were all over it. They were absolutely furious at the president, at Eric Holder, at Lois Lerner. I mean, they were just screaming mad. And it was pretty funny, actually, because they kind of got on a little bit of a roll, and they had somebody from Code Pink that, I guess, disrupted the president's speech the other night.
And they're thinking that was a setup, though.
Yeah, but they were all excited about it. So they were all excited that Code Pink was protesting the president.
Because usually they don't.
Well, yeah, because that would be a different I don't know. Just the whole thing, it's like the world has gone upside down.
Hey, so I read something yesterday. You guys, this was hilarious. And if I could pull up the internet, which we can't at the moment, I would read it to you. But the Nobel Peace Prize Committee literally is asking for the Nobel Peace Prize back from Barack Obama. Including,
are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Can they do that?
They want the case that it came in as well, because apparently it comes in a really nice case, and they asked for that back too. The Nobel Peace Prize Committee.
Oh, sure.
Not always. They admitted, and this is so funny. I got to tell you, I laughed for a good solid hour yesterday. They admitted that during the course of events during the Nobel Peace Prize week, that when it came time to vote, they had already started their festivities. They were drunk.
Like, have that on your list.
I know.
I don't remember. I plead the fifth. I was drunk.
Yeah. We'll add that one too. They said that they were drunk when they voted, and that they may have made a mistake, and they regret the decision they made. And what they did was they based that decision on his campaign speech. He was going to close Gitmo. He was going to pull our troops out of Afghanistan.
Are you kidding?
He had a number of things that he had promised to do in his campaign speech. They based the prize on that, because if you remember, he got it before he even started office.
Yeah. Which made no sense. Are you kidding me?
Nobody. And so now they we've bombed Libya, and our troops are in. You know, they're still in Afghanistan, and Gitmo's still open.
And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, we killed four people with drones.
Yes, and so. They're now saying, gosh, awkward. Maybe we should have. We were a little hasty and a little tipsy, they say. So we'd like to have the Nobel.
We were drunk.
We'd like to have the Nobel
Peace
Prize.
Did they really say that? Did they actually just like?
Yeah. And I would read it to you if I can't get the internet, but I would read it to you. And so I thought that was absolutely hilarious. And I have to say that, unfortunately, this whole situation, I think, has tarnished the image of the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't think it carries the same weight that it carried before.
Well, yeah, if drunk people are the ones voting.
There was a time when you actually had to accomplish these things before you got the prize.
Right, exactly. So, anyway, they want it back. I don't know if they're going to get it back, but they want it back. There is a village somewhere. There's a village somewhere that wants its Nobel Peace Prize back.
Totally. I was going to say, didn't they have a t-shirt about that earlier?
Yeah. So, anyway.
That is, okay. Yeah. That's super fun.
I got to tell you, I laughed really hard about that one. I mean, it was a belly laugh. I mean, I needed a belly laugh. I just thought it was hilarious.
See, and I'm busy capping on them because Code Pink is protesting.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Well,
because all these people are finally seeing what we were seeing a long time ago.
Before this guy ever got into office.
Yeah.
And the funny part is that the sad part is...
We're stuck with him?
We're now, the general opinion is now a mockery of this administration. And that's always sad when it comes to that.
Well, at the end of the day, we knew the guy wasn't qualified to hold the office. Mm-hmm. And so what's he done?
Yeah.
Like any good not qualified guy, he picked a whole bunch of other not qualified guys and gals to fill really key positions
that
all of our lives.
His new Secretary of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about that? And again, I don't have the internet, so I can't pull up her
name. Penny Pritzker.
Thank you. Well, she and her family owned a bank. And had a lot of folks that, especially a lot of veterans and retired folks that put their life savings, in her bank, in her family's bank. And then the bank, became insolvent and closed. And lots of these people lost all of their life savings. Okay. So she can't run a bank. But she's going to be the Secretary of Commerce.
Wow.
Seriously, that came up this week.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of stuff they do. They take people that run things into the ground, things that always end up hurting everyday American citizens, and those are the people that they put in powerful positions.
And the they're propping her up based on what? I mean, this is like, no, what's she's great because of,
I don't know. Bob, do you know what the justification is?
For her being Commerce Secretary? Mm-hmm. She's one of the president's buddies.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God. Well, why didn't I think of that? Yeah.
The Chicago crowd?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway.
Put that on the list. I'm from Chicago.
Did I mention she was a fundraiser for him?
Ooh, oh, there you go.
That's on the list, too.
There you go. Well, George Clooney should be getting a position anytime soon.
Is he drunk?
No, but he was a fundraiser, and Sharon and Sarah Jessica Parker. But you know, this little segue.
This is like a little hate fest, just in case people out there aren't in the room here, just wondering what's going on.
It's a little segue into what we're going to be talking about today.
Oh,
and we're going to be talking about foreign policy and lobby groups and special interests. And it's funny because if you look at the entertainment industry, you look at the educational industry, you look at our foreign policy, our guest today, it ties it all together. So it's going to be
because right
be a
now
good
the only
one.
Thing foreign in our policy mm-hmm. is how our government is being run.
Exactly.
I mean, it's supposed to be someplace outside the boundaries
nice
of the
job,
50
Aaron.
States, but
nice job.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear foreign policy, and I'm like, yeah, pretty much all the policy is foreign right now.
Sure,
thank God. At least we still recognize it's foreign.
Sure.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine there comes a day when all of a sudden this stuff all looks normal?
Oh, yeah.
Like when you can figure out movies, like the one we saw last night that Bill no longer gets to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Cloud Atlas.
Oh.
The Cloud Atlas. It had, what's his face in it? Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, some other people. I don't even know when it was made. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's like, oh, this seems like a good movie. See, he went through a really bad phase and he was barred from choosing movies. So I'm like, okay, are you kidding me?
We watched The Matrix Reloaded.
If you can figure out that movie,
then
this government probably makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to actually grind your way through it in order to get that.
I got a bunch of movies at a garage sale, actually, for free. So Dan and I have been going through and watching those movies. And
do you blame the bad ones on Dan?
No, but I after each one of them, I say, I am so glad I didn't pay for this.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the whole Hollywood thing, the entertainment industry, they suck. I'm sorry.
Every now and then, you know, you find something really good. You know,
but not very often.
Movies are great, but
I love foreign films. I really like foreign films.
Do you like to read?
Not so much. The quality.
She likes the subtitles.
That's what I mean.
It's more of a challenge. See, I can read and watch
Wait, wait, wait. If it's a foreign film, then it's a challenge.
I don't know what that is.
That's challenged in Peter Sellers.
Oh. Peter Sellers. Bob, so any chance?
You got to get your Pink Panther on.
Yeah. So are we heading up for a break here soon?
We are ready for a break.
Okay.
We don't know. Nothing is as it was.
And we are, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Yeah, we would be on the chat room with you, but we can't. Because
But soon, we'll figure it out.
But we will. We're gonna get the hang of this internet thing. We've got
some reinstalling to do here.
We're going to go beat up the modem now for 2 minutes. And thank our advertisers, along with all of you, for tuning in with us this morning on We the People.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Why did you lie to me?
You'll read it on the screen.
Trust is good for nothing, type of brother. Everything you claim to be was a lie. Why did you lie to me? You've been creeping, sneaking, sleeping with another. This is time to leave. So bye, bye.
And we're back. And it was all a lie.
I can't remember. I was drunk.
And I had a senior moment, and it was not my fault. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and anything that falls under that umbrella. And actually, quite a few things do. And we are chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, other people are.
Yeah, at least other people are. We need you to go to that webpage to follow along today. At the moment, we are...
we're in.
We're technically incapacitated.
No, we're in.
We're
capacitated again.
We are, or you are?
Well, I are. So you can be.
Okay.
We'll switch computers.
Sounds good. Hold on, mine?
Yeah. You plug mine and I'll plug. Isn't this exciting to listen to other people work their computers over the radio? It's like, not good radio material.
No, not really. It's kind of boring.
It's like, wow, did you see that? No. Oh my gosh. So, if you haven't been following the IRS hearings, just so you know, the Tea Party groups in Northern California are involved in the suit, including the Center for Law and Justice.
ACLJ.
With Jay Sekulow, who's been all over the news. And holy cow, we have liftoff.
Okay, so we're going to switch computers here. Erin's going to get me back online, and I'm going to use hers. And so that was me hitting the microphone, if you just heard that. Anyway.
Love that. That's my favorite.
Erin is our tech this morning.
Which shouldn't...
You get to charge $75 an hour for that, you know.
Really? Dang it. Nice. So...
She's our computer whiz here.
Which is right. Extremely helpful. So we're going to talk about foreign policy today. And a while back when... the drone issue was looming and it was in the forefront. Our local ACLU had a presentation with a guest speaker via Skype, and I attended that presentation. And for those of you out there that think that conservatives and Tea Party folks have nothing in common with the ACLU, you would be surprised how much common ground we find.
And it's getting closer every
day. And we're finding more and more all the time. Because we are all about freedom and civil liberties. And the guest speaker at that presentation was fabulous. And as soon as I got home, I got in contact with her because I knew that I wanted to get her on our program. And I'm going to get her here on the phone in just a second, but I'm going to give you a little bio on her. Her name is Soraya Sepahpour-Ulrich, and she's been in the United States for about 30 years, immigrated from Iran. And she is an Iranian-American researcher, essayist, and commentator with a focus on U.S. foreign policy and linkage politics. And we'll talk about what linkage politics are as soon as we connect with her. And she talks about the influence of special interest groups, and I think we know that that's a big player in the political scene. She's an anti-war activist and a proponent of social justice, and Soraya has been a guest on various radio, television shows, including NPR, BBC Persian, KPFA Berkeley, CNN, Al Jazeera, and RT. Her essays are published on numerous internet publications and are often translated into various languages. She was educated in Iran, England, and France. She has a master's degree in public diplomacy from USC Annenberg for Communication and Journalism in the USC School of International Relations. Highlights of her career have included the internship at the offices of U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff in 2003, assistant to 2003 Nobel Peace Laureate Shirin Ebadi, 2006, and a one-on-one interview with Iranian President Ahmadinejad in 2010. So, pretty powerful resume there. So, good morning, Soraya.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And we apologize for the stumbling around this morning. We are addicted to our computers, and we could not get internet access this morning. So we're up and running.
Your biography was unknown to us, almost.
Terrific. Thank you so much for that very kind introduction.
You're welcome. So you and I have not met face-to-face, but we've talked on the phone, and I had the opportunity of viewing your presentation at our local ACLU presentation. That was probably a couple of months ago, and I was really impressed with, given your history, you are a huge proponent of the U.S. Constitution. And I want everybody to know that if you do go to wethepeopleradio.us, if you look at the title of today's show, which is U.S. Foreign Policy and the Power of Lobbying Groups, underneath, you'll see a link to www.opednews.com. If you click on that link, it's the author's page for Soraya and all of the articles that she has written. I think it goes back as far as roughly 2007. But Soraya, as I was going through your articles, and maybe this is what linkage politics is, but I was finding links between the entertainment industry, our educational system, and foreign policy. So tell me what linkage politics are.
Linkage politics is, actually, may I just correct one thing?
Sure.
I did migrate here from Australia, and
okay.
In fact, I had an Australian citizenship prior coming to the United States. But I did find through time that this is the country where I wanted to be, and as you mentioned correctly, I hold the United States Constitution above all other written laws and admire and respect it so much, which is one reason I'm very happy to be here and why it's important for me to defend it. But as far as linkage politics is basically the influence of domestic policies on foreign policy. And domestic policies, regrettably, is no longer what you and I think. It's the powerful corporations. And these corporations include the media entertainment, yes, of course, but it's also the military-industrial complex, or what has now become to be known as the military-industrial media complex.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what our government decides to do in our name no longer even involves us or benefits us. If anything, it only harms us. It's the powerful corporations that solicit action from the government to promote their own interests. And that is linkage politics, and there are just various groups involved in this.
Now, there's an article that you wrote, and again, please follow along by going to the link for Op-Ed News, September of 2012, and you talked about the fallacy of free speech. And you tie it into the Muslim community and what average Muslim citizens have endured since 9/11. Now, what do you mean by the fallacy of free speech?
Well, as you would know, in our constitution, there should not be one religion or one set of people set above the others. It should not be favored. George W. Bush passed a law, in fact, that would protect anybody from, say, criticizing people of Jewish origin. At the same time, our lawmakers have, when they were running for office, especially in 2008, their focus was hatred of the Muslims. In not long ago at UC Irvine, there were students, Muslim students, who protested while the Israeli ambassador Michael Oren was speaking there, and they got expelled. So actually, the George W. Bush, the Israeli lobby bill that he signed, let me just point to the name of it. It's actually called Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. It's just one step, technical step, short of impeding our free speech rights. So it's very important to understand that even speech has become very selective. And we see that more and more with President Obama, not just with reference to Muslims, but whistleblowers and anybody who's opposed to his policies.
And we've had a lot of whistleblowers on our show that are tied not so much to the presidency in terms of what their whistleblowing entails, but more to the bureaucracy that they're dealing with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's important to realize that they're trying to keep, when I say they, I mean the government, wants to keep secrets from us and control what we need to know. Whereas it should be the other way around. We, the people, are the people that should have power. We're the people, and that's how the Constitution was written, and especially the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. We, the government, should be accountable to us. But now our freedoms are being curbed. We cannot hold the government accountable, basically because we don't know what they're doing. Everything's done in secret. And that's eroding our, not only our rights, but it's our democracy.
So given all of the news lately, especially the last couple of weeks with what the IRS has been doing in targeting massive amounts of conservative groups, from the Tea Party to pro-life groups, obviously that's a huge violation of the First Amendment. So what's your take on that?
To be honest, I was horrified and shocked. First of all, the IRS is meant to be very independent, and we see more and more people resigning, and I don't know if resignation is the answer. And the this is a country where why so many people love this country. Yes, some come here for jobs and what have you, but the reason people love this country so much is because here we can hold our differences. We embrace our diversity, and yet we live together under the laws that have been passed. Now, if you start violating those laws, then you'll create factions among the people, and it will become a divided nation. I mean, already it has become that in some extent. But if we don't abide by the laws that rule over us, that should be regulating us, then we will allow your differences and my differences, anybody that may have a difference, to take over a society that has been able to live in harmony in spite of its differences. And that is what I fear the most. It doesn't matter whether I'm pro-abortion or against it. What is matter is that I'm entitled to my opinion.
Right.
And
yeah.
to be locked up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or to somehow erode that right because the person who happens to have power at the time, the president, his office, his administration, is just unconscionable. It's not acceptable at all.
Yeah, wasn't on any of our list of things to do. But you know, I think a lot of people saw this sort of thing coming, and they were worried about it because they saw the heavy-handedness and were rightfully worried. And now we're seeing quite a bit of it played out. The nice part is everybody gets to see it now,
well,
instead of just a few people get to experience it.
My point was, and like you said, it doesn't matter whether you're for abortion or against it. You're entitled to your opinion. And the beauty of what's been happening at full speed in the last several months is actually starting to unify. What was it? Somebody said nobody but this administration could bring the media and the Tea Party together.
We always said he would be the father of modern conservative thought, and on that scary note, we need to take a really quick break and thank our advertisers. We will be back with lots more on this topic. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Shapes of things before my eyes just teach me to despise. Will time make man more wise?
Welcome to We the People Radio. Jump on wethepeopleradio.us. We are chatting and streaming worldwide. We are with Soraya Sepapor-Ulrich, my new friend. Just loved her presentation with the ACLU and thrilled to have her on this morning. And Soraya, in your article, The Muslims World Rage, Justified or Misplaced, you reference a landmark Supreme Court hearing, Schneck versus the U.S., you said it was a precedent-setting case on curbing free speech when deemed harmful. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it basically says that you can't shout fire in a theater because it would harm the people. So there are times when only when there's a threat to one's safety, then, yes, there's speech can be curbed, and I'm not an attorney.
It's like yelling fire in a crowded theater, right?
That's exactly it. So, but those are the only instances, not when you're endangering the lives of the others. But not because you disagree with them or you want to promote your own agenda. That is just not acceptable, and we're really well guarded by the Constitution with regards to that, the First Amendment.
Aaron,
I don't know. I'm thinking of like 10,000 questions on this whole thing, because how do they decide? Like, how does the law define it? Westboro Baptist Church is a good example. You know, people wanted them silenced, And then they thought about it, and it's like, okay, no, we don't really want them silenced. So with the freedom of speech part of it, where does freedom of speech have its limit? Like, you know, when you want to, like, is freedom of speech also action?
I mean, it's also... I think it is, and right now we're having even a thought police.
I think
that particular case that was mentioned in my article, it said free speech doesn't protect a man who falsely shouts fire in a theater and causes panic. So it could also apply to what the government is doing today. It's not just the individuals. Like, the government cannot say, okay, there are terrorists here that they're going to kill you, so I'm going to monitor your emails, I'm going to monitor your telephone calls, I'm going to have a police or military outside your door. I mean, that is also curbing off free speech. It's not just the people, it also applies to the government.
Well, what about, like, as I've seen many videos, and we've had a guy on the program from London, mm-hmm. and...
God, he must be quaking in his boots these
days. I know, you know, it's funny.
Jeez.
I was kind of hoping we'd get an update today, but I didn't have a chance to get a hold of him. I'll work on that for next week. But, you know, in London, the Muslims have taken over many of the streets during the prayer times and made it impossible for people to pass through those areas. I know that's kind of like on the razor's edge of the free speech thing, but where does something like that fit, for instance? In your opinion.
To be honest with you, I don't, I'm sorry, are you asking me? I don't know. I don't know if we can translate that law, what's happening in London, to our country here, because every country has different rules and regulations. But I think in many ways, I mean, if you're blocking the streets and you're causing traffic to come to a standstill, then you're obviously causing a public disturbance. So I think you should always balance one with the other. Again, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but it's just that a lot of all this is common sense. I don't know how it can be freedom if you infringe on the freedom of others. But that's just a personal view.
No, that's okay. That's what I was curious about, because, you know, a lot of this, well, I mean, obviously, it's not real clear cut. You know, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. well, like my mom. My mom always wants them to make rules about everything. You know, oh, we should have a law about that. I'm like, Mom, you're legislating common sense.
Sure.
And the only people who will follow it are people who already had common sense to start with. So you shouldn't probably make a law about that, because that just takes away other people's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just wonder how much of this falls into that pile. But we've gone way past it. I mean, they're like the spying on the journalists,
mm-hmm.
listening in on their stuff. What was have you done any writing or anything on that?
You know, I was at two minds. I know that a fellow writer, he was investigated by the FBI, and they're filing a lawsuit. And I know that personally, I've had the FBI pay me a visit asking, how did I get to interview the Iranian president? I am a journalist and a graduate of one of the better communication schools in the country. So it's almost like you're always... and their radar, if you do speak out against government action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know what to do with it. On the one hand, you know, I didn't want to tell my friends because I didn't want my friends to be apprehensive about me being investigated by the FBI for interviewing one of the most controversial world leaders. And on the other hand, you want to speak about it and let others know that what is happening is not right. There's nothing more sacred than the Bill of Rights and, to me, the First Amendment. So, and this is why so many people are here. It's you don't just come into a country and benefit from what's already been sown for you. You have to contribute to it in ways that you will protect what is there for you when you first come in and improve on it. So I don't think it's really very right for new citizens, such as myself, to come here and go into their little shells and not be active in maintaining what we have and improving on it. It's very disappointing and frightening when you're singled out for it.
Yeah, that's extra creepy. Did you know you were being I don't know, watched or spied on
surveilled.
Or whatever you want. Yeah, surveilled.
I had no idea, and it's really very interesting. My husband is like fourth or fifth generation American. He is from Irish and German descent. I do go exercise in the mornings, and I came back from my walk, and he said, the FBI was just here. And I said, yeah. And I didn't take him seriously, and he kept saying, I'm serious. And they're going to come back in 10 minutes. So I waited for them. I have to say they were very nice. But I was just a bit surprised that why would I be investigated, and why would after, I mean, my interview with Iran's president was in 2010. Mm-hmm. Why were they asking me about this, which was only a few months ago?
Wow.
So it was just very surprising.
Well, and I think what we're finding is that this surveilling of American citizens, especially those that might have a slightly different opinion, this has been going on for a while.
It really has, and it did start, unfortunately, with the tragedy of 9/11. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they did talk about when I said the media and military industrial complex all came together, in fact, what happened was that the Homeland Security Act, I think it was Title II, actually wanted to not only interlock military industrial complex with the media, but it wanted to have a critical hold for securing all the information technology and telecommunication system. And they have done that. It's funny, when I was translating or being assistant to the Nobel Peace Laureate in 2006, she was telling the media, the New York Times and everybody that was there, I want my children to live in a country where you're not worried about the government tapping your phone. And it was just so funny, because if the Nobel Peace Laureate has no clue this is what's happening here in this country, mm-hmm. back then and now, it was, and everybody laughed, and they thought she was being funny, but she was surprised that they were laughing, that this was a joke to them. So it's the last thing you expect in a country like ours for these things to be taking place.
Well,
and I understand the need for security, but
well, this is where I think people are starting to become shocked, because like you said, they never expected this type of thing to happen in this country. And I have always believed that we are not on, the United States of America is not on another planet. We're simply an ocean away from other countries that are occupied by their own governments. I mean, why on earth would anyone think that this could never happen?
Yeah, it could never happen here. Well, what about all the people, Soraya, what do you have to say to the folks? Because I get this all the time. The folks who say that, well, I don't care if they spy on me. I'm not doing anything wrong.
That's my mother. Yeah. Fourth Amendment. I don't care.
Channeling your mom and my mom.
Yeah. I don't care if they come into my house and look around, if I don't have anything to hide. And all I can say is my mother probably would have been one of those people that peacefully walked into the gas chamber.
Well, and God love her. I mean, I get idea that, but that you're not doing anything wrong, but who decides what wrong is? So,
it's not that if I oppose it, it's not that I'm doing anything wrong. I'm opposed to them doing something wrong.
There you
They're
go.
The ones that are doing the wrong, taking the wrong road.
Beautiful. So,
and I know that I'm very comfortable with what I do, and I think to be a citizen who does not contribute to our society and simply self-indulges is not a very desirable citizen. But if I'm not one bit afraid of, I know they read my emails, I know they read my correspondence, and I'm sure that my phones are being listened to. It doesn't bother me, because I know where I come from and what my goal is, and my goal is truthfully for a better world around me, and that's why I focus on U.S. foreign policy. But it's wrong of them to be spying on
exactly.
me. That
there
is not what I signed up for when I swore to defend the Constitution of the United States.
Well, the good news is that we are then streaming worldwide, and we are currently educating the FBI through your phone.
Oh, wonderful. I'm sure they'll be knocking again tomorrow.
I'm sure they'll be at our house next week.
Yeah.
You never know who your audience is, I guess.
I think we're probably coming up on a quick break.
The clock's up behind me. I was like, it's done till. Bob, Do you have something queued up for us?
We can take a break anytime.
Do you have some fun for us queued up or for our listening pleasure? All right, folks out there, you can't call us now when you come back, but at the first of the hour, if you have questions, you should. So in order to plan ahead, here's your phone number, 530-605-4567. We will be back with Soraya in 2 short minutes here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460.
We looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radio superior.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Don't tell me because it hurts.
Good choice, Bob.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Excellent choice. Hey, we're going to hit the top of the hour here in a couple of minutes, but we are talking with our very special guest, Soraya Sepipor Ulrich, who is a peace activist and a political commentator and a big proponent of the U.S. Constitution. You told me you carry that around in your purse. You have, like, the mini-Constitution?
I have it in my desk drawer, and it's become, I'm not a religious person, but this is like a Bible, because I wish every American who's born here would read the Constitution.
Amen.
I even went to because it is a difficult language, and why we have attorneys, why we have the judges that interpret it for us. But there is a Constitution in easy English. The Constitution in simple English. On one side, you have the Constitution as it was written. On the other side, it's putting it in plain English. And it shouldn't be just people who are natural citizens who need to know about their Constitution and their rights and their laws. Every American should know this. And it's troublesome that they don't. They really don't know the first thing about the Constitution, the vast majority. So it's, I feel that it's something that both protects me and I need to protect it. So it's very special to me.
What do you say to the people that think that this, that it should be modernized? You know, the living document people?
Well, it's, in a way, it's really very complete as it was written. At the same time, we have 27 amendments. So I'm not opposed to any amendment that may enhance it, but then it has to be done thoroughly and carefully. And I mean, I'm not one of those that thinks we should wage war. The president should have the amendment. I mean, not simple little things. As maybe it's my bias, but I see it very much as a complete document as it is with the additional amendments. So I don't foresee any changes that may be needed, but I don't think you should never just close the door either, should the need arise. But I don't know how they want to modernize it. It's the beauty of the American Constitution. It's probably the only constitution in the world that is not only one of the oldest, but it still applies to today's society.
Yeah, the founders had great vision.
Unbelievable. And it's just, I don't see, as maybe my vision is too narrow, but I don't see how it can be improved upon as it stands. It's just a very perfect document.
Well, I just, it's nice to get that out there from somebody who is an immigrant to this, in this country. So you've actually done the homework. And do you find that most people that are clueless about the Constitution, are they natural-born citizens? I mean, is it like religion? Usually when people convert to a religion, they know a lot more about it than the people who were already in that religion.
Probably, or just also, I think at times we need to take things seriously, like every president, Congress, what have you, they hold to protect the Constitution. And I had to go in through the swearing ceremony as well and say that I would defend the Constitution, laws of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it seems that many people grow up here unaware of what the Constitution is, and their their role, their duty to defend it.
But, you know, that's okay. Well, my sister-in-law immigrated from Kazakhstan, 15 years ago. And it took her, I want to say, about 7 years to complete the whole process of becoming a U.S. citizen. And she shook her head one day and she said, you know, I know more about your government and how it works than anybody that lives here.
That's what I was afraid of.
And it's embarrassing.
It's true. It's often like, you know, if you have, it might be a silly analogy, but you may live in a very beautiful spot with a lot of places that are that would attract tourists, but you've never been to them. And this is just, we take it so much, people who are born here, they take it so much for granted that I have a free country, I live in a free country, I live in a democracy, but they don't even bother to look up how they got that freedom. And what it actually means, they take their constitution. The majority of us in this country, the constitution has become what the television, the media tells us, the mainstream media, and that's just robbing us from what we are entitled to.
Exactly. Soraya, we're going to take a quick top of the hour break.
We will be right back with you. Catch some news, grab some coffee. You're listening to We the People Radio.
You got 5 minutes.
Wow.
All right, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Soraya Sepipur Ulrich coming back for hour number two of We the People after the news on KCNR Shasta Reading.
We're back with the second hour of We the People Radio. You're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, our producer, and God, he's so good with the music.
All around good guy.
He's a great guy.
And our coffee fetcher, Eddie, is out circumnavigating the globe.
Yes.
I just wanted him to know, yeah, we had to get our own coffee, so that's really...
Bill,
got a fresh batch on there, by the way.
Bill, we need you back next week.
I'm filling in for Bill this morning as well.
So jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us. We are chatting and we're streaming worldwide. Everything about our guest.
Soraya's phone to the FBI.
Yes, and everything about our guest today is on that webpage, including the links to every show that we've ever done. Each one is an individual link that you can email out far and wide. No excuse for not getting out the information that you don't hear in mainstream media. We talk about anything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Hey, Soraya, talk to us about foreign policy. I mean, you've looked at this from a you are looking at this from a completely different vantage point than we are, and probably
most
of our audience, which is fun. So, what do you see from your through your spyglass there?
You know, what troubles me is that not a single one of our foreign policies benefits America and the American people. It's just serving corporations and interest groups and lobbies, and we're actually paying the price for it. For just a very simple example, we have two bridges that collapsed in the past week. One truck hit it, but should our bridges be so fragile that they would collapse so easily?
That's clearly what I thought too.
Problems with our structure, infrastructure, and yet we're funding terrorist-related elements in Syria to overthrow the regime. We're arming them. We're helping them, and all this is kept public from the American public. So I think this. And if there is, of course, a blowback. I mean, every action we've taken has had a blowback. The American people eventually end up paying the price for it. And there's a chap, his name is Max Boot, and they say that he's one of the most 500 influential people when it comes to foreign policy. And I listened to him a few years ago, and his biggest complaint was, speaking of blowback, he was saying that, you know, years ago we could go to other countries and basically impose our will on them, and we never had to worry about some Islamist or some jihadist coming back and hurting us. So what his complaint was, what we do out there now is coming back to haunt us, and yet we continue to do it. And it's not just the Islamists and jihadists. I mean, people are, just as we're entitled to our sovereignty and to our rights, other countries, I think, should be left alone as well to sort out their own problems. And we tend to be in every corner of the world, and at a detriment to ourselves.
And Soraya, do you think that we are occupying those countries?
I think occupation takes many forms. America has become so big that it cannot afford to physically occupy nations. So it's doing it by proxy, by virtual occupation, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have bases that even the Roman Empire at its height did not have all over the world. But at the same time, many of the people in countries that are of interest to us, their leaders, not the people, are subservient to the United States government. They basically act as their proxies in those countries. So if you consider that occupation, and many people do see it as occupation, or they call them puppet regimes or many other derogatory terms, mm-hmm. but that's how it is.
Well, why? I mean, I'm looking at the people that our government has been choosing to be in power. I mean, because truly they're picking the winners and the losers over there, too. Why is it they seem to keep picking the bad guys?
Well, the bad guys are more willing to suppress their own people and oppress them. We're basically either very interested in resources or, the global domination. This is today, this America is the America that the founders had in mind. Their policies are not the same policies. I mean, even if you look at the multinational companies that are the part of the corporate elite and push for policies, they are exactly that. They're multinational. They're not American owned. So what happens here or there doesn't bother them as long as they get a lot of the green in the banks. So it really doesn't matter if they pick somebody who is willing to kill their own people. I know from experience, my stepfather was very close to the former Shah of Iran. He was his minister and ghostwriter and his personal ambassador. And the Shah used to throw his own people and jail them, and they had the most cruel, secret service that was trained by the CIA. It really didn't matter to the government at that time that the Shah was cruel. They even overthrew a prime minister that was democratically elected because we were engaged in the Cold War with the Soviet Union. So it was more important to have a brutal dictator that would suppress any dissent than to allow for us to eavesdrop on the United States from Iran, than to defend the rights of the people. The rights of the people in our own country here is being eroded. So why should they care about other countries?
Yeah, I think that's like the $64,000 question.
Yeah. Well, and I think we answered one of our questions that we had asked earlier, and why is it that, well, this administration in particular has brought so many incompetence into key positions in their administration. And I guess I've always believed because those people already have no moral compass and they will do whatever needs to be done. They don't care.
That's exactly it. I mean, I did vote for Obama in 2008, although he was not my first choice. I had wanted Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But
God, Mark Kent, did you hear that?
We were just speculating about that in the chat room. That's so funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and this time around, even because Ron Paul was not given a chance to speak, he was not presented per se as a viable candidate. I wasn't going to vote for Obama again. I did not vote, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I didn't want to pick the lesser of two evils.
Sure.
So I think this this administration, even though he was not my choice in 2008, I have been so disappointed, so disappointment and so fearful for the direction the country is taking. And, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many of the people are not awake yet. They're sort of happy in their... And another thing that helps him, too, is when there's such bad economical times, people are so busy looking for ways to make ends meet that they don't give a second thought to the things going around them that are maybe more important in the long run.
Hey, so what did, and I hope I'm not backtracking with this question, but it's been popping up in my head while we've been talking, and I know we're going to go to a break real quick here, but I'd be interested in knowing what you feel about the Patriot Act. And I know that goes back to 9/11, and that was the Bush administration, but what's your take on the Patriot Act?
You know, I almost feel that I haven't migrated to the United States. I'm not a citizen here. I live back home. So I'm really not very fond of anything that infringes on, mm-hmm. on personal liberties. And I just think the cost is too much.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, in a way, we would never know mm-hmm. how many people they find that we're going to do some things. So you really don't, yeah. you can't quantify that side.
Sure.
But at some level... Mm-hmm. You know, I think Benjamin Franklin was right. I mean, mm-hmm. you cannot give up your liberty for security. You don't get either one in the bargain.
That's right.
It just doesn't work out.
That's exactly it. Absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah. Now the technology. I mean, we haven't even moved on to the drone thing. Can we talk about that when we come back? Are you?
Of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have opinions on the drones.
Because that's how I found her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's how I found Soraya.
Oh, yeah. Right on. I forgot about that part. Okay, I'm back with you again. Right, we'll be back. We're going to talk about some drones because I know everybody cares about this, and it's coming to an airspace near you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Let's talk Fourth Amendment and the use of drones. You had some pretty strong feelings about that.
Well, exactly. I mean, as you correctly mentioned, well, the Fourth Amendment, not only people are supposed to be safe from unreasonable searches of their bodies and homes and what have you, but if the government is now playing judge, jury, and executioner, Mr. Obama has a kill list, and he decides that a person is guilty and sends drones in to kill them, but the drones not only killed that person, they often 98% of the casualties, drone casualties, are civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And they've owned up to killing 4 American citizens, which in itself is incomprehensible, unacceptable. But the fact that there's so many other casualties, it will come back and haunt us. I mean, I don't know if you have children. I mean, definitely have family members. If somebody killed an innocent member of your family, mm-hmm. what would your reaction be? And we're just creating enemies around the world.
Sure.
And the way this is done, which is mind-boggling in itself, again, it's the domestic politics or the special interest group. Let's say if you take Lockheed Martin, which are one of the biggest lobbyists in the use of drones. They manufacture them. They lobby the government to use them. At the same time, they provide the intelligence. About 50 or 60% of our intelligence, the CIA, is being outsourced to this for-profit groups. So they find a person guilty of their intelligence. They tell the government kills them with a drone that they manufacture. And this, to me, just doesn't make sense. This, to me, is just so flawed and wrong, and I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, and you know, there are people out there, again, my mother, who actually believes that drones are going to help keep us safe. Like these little drones flying around in the air, they're going to see something bad and report it.
Spy on everybody because we should know what they're all doing.
The thought processes are not carried through. And so many people live in a comfortable little bubble.
Well,
I have many friends who are like that. And in fact, we had a conversation with a colleague of my husband. Well, what's wrong with drones if they're going to kill some terrorists? But if we are a nation of laws, first of all, we don't, it's a violation of international law when you're not at war with a country to just fly over and kill and kill many others with it. And then you, at the same time, you have to give, whether it's an American citizen, of course, initially when it's an American citizen, you have to give them a chance to prove them wrong, to try them. But by taking actions the way we do, when we kill our own so recklessly in other countries, what kind of a message is that sending to America's enemies? That if an American citizen is unprotected from its own government, then what's stopping me from killing or spying or capturing or torturing?
That's right. Yeah, if the American government doesn't care about their people, why should we?
Well, absolutely. You have to remember that if those types of things, those policies and the outgrowth of that is only as good as the person either interpreting it or making the law.
And we know
who decides?
And we know that the government does not hire the cream of the crop and the finest,
the sharpest tools
they
in
don't.
The shed.
They don't.
I can't remember.
And we all know that, having dealt with multiple bureaucracies.
Yeah, we've all been, we spent the first 20 minutes of the program making fun of Lois Lerner and her ilk, Soraya, just so you know. we listed all the possible reasons that you wouldn't want to answer in a congressional hearing.
Hey, so Soraya, you, in one of your articles, you talk about, what was it called? It was about the movie Argo and how, and how the, well, let's just call it the Hollywood entertainment complex, and how they have become the propaganda arm, of terrorism for our United States government.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, this goes back a long ways, and the Hollywood industry has always promoted U.S. policies, but at that point, we can still say it's at war and there's no excuse for it. But basically, because we have lost the ability to think. We have lost the ability to ask questions. And that's why you don't see too many people. I mean, 1967 Vietnam War, there were, people protesting the war all over the place, college campuses. Now we're so used to being entertained and to being told what we should believe. And this is done through Hollywood. Hollywood is so effective because it not only frames issues in a way that suits the policies of the government, but it also makes it so acceptable in such a subtle way. When say we do go and send a drone somewhere, it's perfectly acceptable because we're killing a bad guy.
Right.
And we refuse to even consider or think about what we're doing is wrong. It's everything is framed for us.
Sure.
Everything is, we are brainwashed. I don't know how else to say that would
be absolutely.
Less unkind.
Well, this is why, I mean, I was telling Aaron earlier in the show that I really prefer foreign films because there are less dramatics, less special effects, less action, less violence. You do actually have to think.
Well, people are starting.
That's exactly, yeah.
Well, people are starting to figure it out, and you know, the thing that kind of, you know, actually makes me kind of excited and happy is that people are starting to speak out more and more and more on different. They're popping out of the woodwork. You know, we can call them whistleblowers. We can call them people who still have common sense left.
And these whistleblowers usually are the folks that have the highest level of integrity and the expertise and the true knowledge.
And they're in all different levels of different organizations. But, you know, I was speaking with somebody the other day, and they said, well, hold on, I've got to go down the block a little way because around the building here there are cameras everywhere, and I know that they can read my lips. And I was like,
yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Can I say hell, Bob?
But that
you
is
just
so
did,
true.
Aaron.
I mean, it sounds silly even when we hear ourselves say it, but it is true.
It's very
it
true.
It's happening.
It's very true.
And it's totally
it's
happening.
Frightening.
So we obviously know through the last election, the 2012 election, that Hollywood is totally in bed with the executive office.
Well, they don't live in our world.
No.
They don't have to.
I think we were disgusted. Really? I don't know about you, but I was disgusted with Hollywood and the entire entertainment industry after the last election. I was so done.
I kind of was done with them a little bit before that.
It's very sad because our role models now these days, they're no longer the people that are intellectual. They're no longer the people who really contribute to this country, but they're people in Glitter Town. And that to me is just such a loss.
People who become multi-millionaires off of the ticket prices for folks going to see their movies who actually have their homes in other countries. Don't you just love that?
It's sad. There's so much more could be said through the media. Of course that would be boring, but that's because we would have to think, and God forbid that we should think.
Sure.
Because if we think, then we may be tempted to act.
Well, those crummy, inconvenient facts.
Did I just cut you off?
No, we're good. We're good. I was just looking at the clock because it's behind my head.
But your take is that Hollywood tends to favor Israel.
Oh, very much so, and this is not really secret. You read it in every paper, including Israeli paper, the Haaretz, which is one of my favorite. They do absolutely favor it, and actually most of them. I mean, it's sad because at a time Jews were persecuted here, and they had to change their names to be in Hollywood and the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
But now they actually openly say that they back Israel and Israel's policies. So it's not a secret at all.
Well,
or in fact, it's an open secret.
Sure, there you go.
And what do you think how do you think that's playing out? You know, I mean, what's the consequence of that?
Well, it justifies all of Israel's actions. Israel is acting against international law, especially say with its occupation, or Israel went and took it upon itself, say, to bomb Syria. Well, that's a violation of international law. But with Hollywood's backing in everything that is, every movie that's being said, first of all, they present movies in such a way or frame them that you would think that Israel and America are one and the same. You have Navy, CSI, whatever, where there's an Israeli working with them in their intelligence. So that the people, when they see these movies, they get the impression, well, there's no difference between us and Israel. Well, there is. Israel is a separate country from the United States. And then secondly, I mean, just talking about the bridges, we're having these bridges that are falling down.
Mm-hmm.
America is spending millions of dollars building, I can only call Armageddon bunkers in Israel for the elite Israelis. And I bet you too many Americans don't even know about
them. Sure.
This.
I was just going to say, but those are real and everybody knows about them?
Well, it's actually a Business Insider. It was Business Insider link. And it's called, the site is called 9/11 for whatever reason. And the U.S. Army is building it, and it's supposedly it's going to take 900 days from February 13th of this year to complete it. And this building of this underground complex was in fact awarded to Conti Corps. So it's not something that somebody has made up.
Sure. Well, and that was another campaign promise that our president made. We're gonna create a stimulus. In other words, we're going to take your money, and we're going to improve on the infrastructure of your country. And clearly, that's not happening.
That is not happening. I mean, if you look at all the funds, say National Endowment for Democracy or Freedom House and whatever, all the money they're giving to agitate uprisings in countries around the world, it makes you wonder, why do we have to go into other people's countries?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we spend that money here, which is so badly needed?
Sure.
And even if we are successful in the uprising in other countries, it will come back to haunt us. I mean, if you look back, and again, these are things that were, you go to Freedom House and open it up. It's not something that I've created or I'm just creating this kind of news. But we funded the young democracy lovers in Egypt. We funded, we taught them how to use the social networking sites. And now we have a government in place that is as bad as it was. Egypt is really divided. It's chaos there. We did the same thing in Tunisia. We're doing the same thing in Syria. We're doing it in
and,
Iran.
And we're doing it and we're doing it here.
Absolutely, we are doing it here.
Hey, so absolutely. Real quick before we go to our break, Bob had a question, our producer, and he said this may be, you know, opening a big can of worms, but do you believe that our current administration is actually anti-American?
You were right, Bob.
Big can of worms.
I don't believe he's anti-American, but his actions are working against America and the American people. So I don't know how one wants to frame it. I would not go
out there. Well, let's say he governs as if he's anti-American.
Well, it's really hurting Americans. Mm-hmm. It's hurting it. His foreign policy is hurting America. His domestic policy is really hurting Americans. He's killing them.
Do you feel that this administration is truly unqualified for this job?
You know, I'm not really qualified to make that decision, but I know did not choose to vote for him a second time.
Well, as a citizen, though, what's your gut reaction? Because I tell you what, I think we all vacillate on this, and obviously there's no, you know, nobody's going to have a definitive answer here, but it's hard to decide. Are they crazy like a fox, or do they just keep finding the wrong people?
They just don't want to know. They really don't want to know. I mean, it's just like people, it's a very, very hard call for people to wake up. I lived most of my life thinking, for example, just to give an analogy for people to understand, that the Shah of Iran was the most benevolent, the most wonderful person on earth. I worshipped him. I would see his picture and cry. It was such a slap in the face for me to wake up and understand and realize the person that he was. So it's not easy to accept things that are hard to embrace, and you know, you put your faith in your country, your constitution, your government, and it's very hard to want to even know that the government is not serving the people, and in fact, in many cases, working against the people.
But it's a little bit like you know, I mean, let's go to something we know, right? It's a little bit like having some sort of an illness. You can't fight it unless you know what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
So it's at some level we need to take our government to the doctor, you know, make the call and, you know, begin the difficult task of curing the disease. And on that happy note, I didn't leave Bob enough time to come up with a good song for that. So we'll listen to what he has queued up. We'll be right back with Soraya here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM.
I promised you great music. Thanks, Bob Martin.
Well, you inspired that, actually. You said we need a good anti-war song from the 60s, didn't
you? There you go.
That is the anti-war song
from the 60s. So joining Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and Soraya Sepipori Ulrich. Hey, so you had an article. Let's see. Let me check out when you wrote it. Don't you love my notes here,
I do.
Aaron?
I was just kind of... I'm
very fancy.
It looks like one of those things we used to play with when we were kids. You'd fold the paper, you know, and it had the numbers on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. August 5th of I think 2012, you talk about the militarization of education. and you kind of focus on fraternities, sororities, and football. And I was reading through that, and it was really interesting because most of us consider fraternities, sororities, and the game of football to be American traditions. And you coin it as being the hyper-masculine systems perpetuate a culture of conformity and intolerance. And I thought, I need to hear what you think about that.
It was really interesting. I had a sociology professor at college, and just for your listeners to know, I went to college I was an adult student. And it was a sociology professor that actually opened up the culture of these football games and what have you. I have nothing against football, but it's almost, they've become cult-like. And, in his book, it actually shows how women are brought to these, when they're recruiting football players, women are brought there to entice them, and they get drunk, and we see rape happening, and it's almost always hushed down. But, I really don't want to get into the idea of, football in colleges. But again, as another professor said, it is the opium of the masses. We're so focused on football that we forget to ask all the other questions. But it's also, every congressional person, our presidents, they like to go to captive audiences and military bases or defense plants or aircraft carriers. They could continuously, even TV programs like Homeland, Call of Duty, it might be all very nice, but they promote and valorize the military in our school system. Like I went to USC, I know that we have Department of Homeland Security there teaching anti-terrorism. We have somebody from the CIA teaching international relations. And all these things just are mind-boggling because I don't know how one can have an unbiased view of reality when clearly if you everything is skewed to kind of make impression on these young minds that will, a lot of times you're not even able to ask questions.
Well, when you're that young, when you're that young, you do not have the life experience to know what you don't know and to formulate questions based on personal experience. I mean, they're so right. Captive. Those young people they're just sitting ducks.
Well, at the end of the day, too, I'm sorry, but Homeland Security, what is that? I mean, they just seem to be total boobs, They are. They're just total boobs. They don't ever really get it right. They hog up a ton of money. They seem to be a duplication of everything else that's going on, except they suck at it.
Just one more layer of bureaucracy.
What would we miss if we got rid of them?
Yeah, and a lot of these Tea Party...
says Janet.
IRS. A lot of these Tea Party IRS protests that happened last week, the Homeland Security showed up. And one woman said, fine, I'll get a picture taken with you.
Yeah, she stood in front of the car and took a picture of herself in Florida.
I mean, what was that about? What did they think that these folks were going to do? Really?
It's
intimidation.
I think is the word you're using incorrectly.
It's intimidation, and they want to see how far they can go without any kind of resistance from us.
Absolutely. And it is intimidating. Nowadays you see the police or Department of Homeland Security, whatever, they are, like armed. They're armed to the point, they're not there. I always have the vision of the police or internal security as people who are there to protect me. But when you see them come down on the crowds the way they do, it's almost like it makes you as a citizen defensive and afraid of them. And I don't know how that can serve us. I mean, certainly there should be laws and they should keep an eye on what's going on. But to intimidate, well, that's just not acceptable. It's what they do in dictatorials around the world where we hope to change them.
Yeah, I just can't wrap my mind around it. And the other thing that I was going to bring up here before we allow you to go back and live your life is off the airways where the FBI will have to monitor you separately.
We just try to make that easy for them.
We're just trying to help out.
Sorry?
They'll send their drones here today.
Yeah, exactly. But I was thinking, what about all this, these terrorist guys? I mean, this seems to be the next, I guess battlefield would be a poor analogy, but when do they get to be read their rights, and when do they have to be part of a maybe an undeclared war? I mean, what do you consider the line of demarcation on that whole thing?
I have a hard I have a problem with the word terrorist because it's not a globally accepted. There's no globally accepted definition for it. So basically, what a terrorist means to me or to us as Americans means something totally different to somebody who is, say, in Africa or the Middle East. Basically, it's the other person. And it's really mind-boggling because, like, for example, the underwear bomber that on Christmas Day wanted to blow up a plane, well, he happened to be a CIA informant. I don't know where to draw the lines between the people, the good guys and the bad guys. And you know, we go through all these securities because somebody is working with the government I don't know who a terrorist is anymore.
Well, sure, because it seems like if you wait long enough, you know, this is like anything else. If you just sit back and you wait long enough, the story wasn't the story after all. So
that's just exactly. We're just being so misinformed.
Uh-huh.
And this is part of this is part of eroding us of the media freedom. We think we have free press here, but we don't. Censorship and misinformation are part of suppressing or oppressing our right to free media. And we don't tend to think of it that way. Even when they frame things in a certain way to convince us of a story they want us to believe, that is censorship. That is misinformation.
That is censorship.
And it's not free press.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're spinning the story to fit an agenda. They're not just reporting. So do you think that the media is starting to wake up?
Not the mainstream media, no.
Okay.
No, not at all. I think that had it not been for offshoot outlets such as yours, such as many others that inform people either online or, you know, by way of radio, then, if there are 10 people who are informed, without you guys, it would be just one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the non-mainstream media is making inroad. It's very slow, but it's making its way. And I think because the mainstream media is so into profit, hopefully a time will come when they're going to lose all their advertising support because nobody's buying their lies anymore, so they're switching off. And then they will have to wake up and follow suit.
Either that or they'll become an official paid arm of the government, so they'll use tax dollars
right.
to support the lack of advertisers.
Right. Gosh, I hope it's not the latter. I hope they wake up.
I know. Yeah, you would think.
Well, at some point, though, I see these guys, you know, you have somebody who sneaks into the country or overstays their visa or whatever their thing is, but they're not an American citizen. They do something here, and then suddenly they have all the rights of American citizenship, and we're going to keep them in jail forever and feed them and clothe them. What the heck?
Right.
Doesn't that seem screwed? Okay, let's see. Let's go at this a different way. Okay, how does this work in, say, Iran? Like, if we sneak into Iran, we do something bad to them.
Well, you would be put in jail. But I think the smart thing would be to, because if you're put in jail, again, the country picks up the cost of it. But I think the best thing to do is when somebody comes into the country illegally and does something illegal, would be to perhaps expel them. Because that way you're not bearing the cost. I don't think jail is the answer. But then again, at the same time, I mean, I know that this country, much of its infrastructure, its farming, its agriculture relies on illegal immigrants. So I don't really even want to go there and address them. I don't, it's not something I'm comfortable talking about.
Yeah, that's a tough one because some of those folks are the hardest workers.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do jobs that nobody else does. I mean, here where I live, last week we had a jazz blues festival, and I walked by the next day, and everything that was being cleaned up, including dismantling the stage and the barriers and all that, and picking up the garbage, every single one of them looked to me to be, Hispanic.
It's hard to paint any group of people with a broad brush.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's face it. Badness is equal opportunity. I think that we really have lost our way, though. You know, we've gotten ourselves into a position where we really don't know where we stand, what we should be doing, what's right and what's wrong, and it keeps changing. It's literally a shifting target.
Mm-hmm.
So
and on top of it, they're trying to confuse us. I mean, it's
there you go. That's a much better way to look at it.
Yeah, because there's such a maze of information, disinformation there, what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, we tend not to go and dig for ourselves and try and understand what the root cause of any given problem is so that we may find the solution. It's just that we keep having all these Band-Aid policies, and eventually they're going to fall off, and we need to stick on a new Band-Aid without addressing the core of the problem. And we've lost track of what the core of the problem is.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that is the point. Maybe that's it. We make this, you know, the same thing happens over and over and over. We keep making a different decision. So maybe it is to confuse us. So that then, you know, when they land on what it was they wanted to do the first time, you know, it's like pin the tail on the donkey, you know, put the blindfold on, spin them around, give them something pointy, and let them go. On that happy note, we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, you just ruined the memory for me.
Yes, sorry about that. I destroyed your whole childhood. We'll be right back with you on KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm reading the chat room. You're listening to We the People Radio. You need to get on the chat room. It's hilarious. We have someone that signed in as Barack, and they said, I had Sally and Terry arrested this morning. I hate their yellow flag.
Because they've got a Don't Tread on Me flag flying in front of their house.
Entertaining at the very least. You know, we've had some great comments about this show already. We just had somebody come into the studio and say, wow, I really like Soraya. She's level. Yeah. Well, you're level. I mean, you've done the research so you can back up what you say, but, there are two sides to everything. There just are.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to point out that studying public diplomacy, it can also be another word for propaganda. So I understand how it works. And the most important, and that's why I'm so opposed to it, one of the godfathers of propaganda in this country that started PR and, you know, whatever, his name was Edward Bernays. And he actually argued that, and I'm going to quote him here, I have it in front of me, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. So this goes back to what you were saying about us, and we were talking about getting confused before the break. That everything is being manipulated to garner our consent for whatever policies benefit the policymakers. And this is something we really need to be apprehensive about.
I think the list of what we should... Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I was going to say the list of what we should be apprehensive about is pretty long. How about this? From your perspective and what you've seen in other places, obviously, and what you're watching go on here, let's end our time by focusing a little bit on what people could do. You know, depending on where they are in the whole mix, I mean, paying attention would be good. Using your common sense would be good. But what are some obvious things that you think people really should be doing, and you're just watching them...
not do it?
Yeah, just like missing the boat there.
The thing that bothers me the most, which I hope I'm wrong, maybe the downfall of this country, is people do not want to engage in intelligent, informative conversations.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I know that it's very hard to, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, you're going to have a barbecue, you don't want to be talking about what's going on around you. But at some point, even on a subconscious level, slip in a one-liner, about what is bothering you, what you need to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be talking to each other because we're the ones who's going to be able to save the country.
Well, that's where it's all headed. At the end of the day, it's going to be us. Well, you know, and I have to say that there was a birthday party in my family yesterday, and we were all enjoying the festivities and the frivolity, and I did bring up the fact that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee wanted their Nobel Peace Prize back in its case from Barack Obama.
You fun killer.
And so, you know, see, I did. And
I'm a fun killer. I know still. I am.
Every party's got a pooper. That's why we invited you.
I don't know. I thought the fact that the committee was drunk when they awarded it was pretty funny. I mean, I thought that I was adding to the festivities.
And what did all the five-year-olds think of that?
They were 10.
But that would sow the seed for the next conversation. You may not talk about it that very day, but at least you've prepped the people around you that you're aware, and hey, let's share this today. We can drink and have a barbecue and a hamburger, steak,
thank
whatever.
God we're not
but next time we meet, we need to talk about this. It's important.
And it was about his foreign policies, you know, the promises that he made. So I really want to encourage people to read all of your articles. There's about 55 of them, but they're really good. And I'm going to give you that website again,
one
folks.
One article at a day. That's all we ask.
It's www.opednews.com, and that will take you directly to Soraya's page. And actually, if you go to wethepeoplradio.us and click on that link there, it'll take you right to her page, and you can peruse those articles. And they're not real long, but you give a lot of links to all of the documentation to back up your opinions.
Well, and Soraya, too, honestly, don't you find that a lot of this discussion is muzzled because people are just hung up on political party?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really sad. I mean, you know, I am a registered Democrat, but for me, and that's because it was really out of no choice. I came out of being granted my citizenship, and there was a Democratic Party, and they registered me. And I'm not opposed to it. It's not a question of Democrat or Republican, because you want what's best for the country. I contributed as much as I could, let's say, for Ron Paul. In my opinion, he would have been the best leader. So it's not a question of a party, and we've got to put the differences aside. And as I mentioned at that ACLU talk, we have to embrace that which unites us as a people, as a country. And that doesn't really recognize a party. That's just our rights and our laws under the Constitution.
Sure. It's the ideas. I mean, we have to literally, politically grow up, get over some of that, because, you know, all those Republicans, you know, they're doing everything wrong. And then, you know, a lot of the people don't recognize that we've got people in our own party. You know, George Bush and all of them back through the thing. There's nobody who's perfect. Nobody.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's something about everybody along
the way. There
are some
that are better than others, but no, they all
have. Gotta hang with the ideas.
They're all flawed in one way or another.
Yes, they are.
Hey, Soraya.
We can only improve on that flaw or get rid of the flaw if we talk about it and bring it to the table and get rid of what is not serving the union and what's not good for the country. And by country, would it be extension the world and encourage that which is good. And we can't do this until the two sides talk to each other.
Sure.
So.
And at the end of the day, we've got to vote for the people, not the party, regardless of what party they are part of. Because, we can go through the machinations of, oh, we need 19,000 parties, or we need none, or we need four, or two, or new one, but it's still going to be people. We're still going to ultimately vote for people, and we're never going to find any perfect ones. So you figure, okay, you line up the pros and cons, and then, you know, measure.
Mm-hmm.
Measure which one's higher. Oh, and by the way, someone in the chat room wants to know if we can clone you. So when Homeland Security gets that handled, you're on our list.
Hey, and Soraya, do you ever head up north?
You know, to be honest with you, I have a very old and sick dog.
Okay,
and
I understand.
I basically stay put a lot because he needs a lot of
I've been there.
DLC right now.
I've been there. Well, if the time comes that you're ever heading up north, we would love to have you come speak in person.
Thank you so much. I would really, I thank you for that generous offer, and I will definitely take you up on it whenever the chance presents itself.
Yeah, I had two little dogs that as they aged, they both lived to 17, and I was like you. I didn't go anywhere, literally did not leave my house for 2 years because I was not going to leave those dogs as fragile as they were in the care of someone else.
Sure.
That's exactly how I am. He's
deaf, a member of your family.
Blind and yeah.
I got an old boy who's headed there too. Mm-hmm. Hey, and you know, while we're putting out the pitch, if you know other people who are, you know, smart, they don't have to be talking about this exact same stuff, but things that you think people need to know that they're not hearing in the mainstream media, which is a pretty good list right there. So as you're talking to people, forward those names to us. If they happen to be coming up here,
I'll be more than happy to. I'll email them.
We've got radio, and we have a personal venue as well, so we'd be happy to, you know, get their ideas out there and educate folks. We thank you for joining
us
this morning.
Well, I thank you very much for having me on your show.
It was wonderful.
We totally enjoyed it.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Bob.
We'll have you back. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Soraya. We'll do it again.
Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate being on your show.
Well, it was a delight having you this morning.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for
this
edition.
Have a good rest of the day weekend.
You likewise. Stay on the line, in fact. Stay on the line.
Happy Memorial Day, folks. Thank you to our troops and all our men and women who are serving and have served.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.